All right, Captain Evil.
Hello.
Here we are.
Good morning.
Ready to go again.
Are we starting on a better tone this morning?
I don't know. I do realize that we have become those parents, right? We're the, hey, sit in the corner and watch your tablet. We didn't have a babysitter today, and my assistant, Timmy, who usually hangs out with him. And
Had a hot date in Houston.
So we were like, what are we going to do? I guess we'll bring him. You know, so we brought him into the office today, and we sat him down, and we're like, here, dude, here's your tablet.
Oh, my God, but the kid's so happy. Meanwhile, he's got, like, gambling games on his tablet.
Well, we're very, you know, when we travel in the car, you know, he gets to watch a little tablet. If we're on an airplane, he gets to watch.
When we're stuck in one place.
A little tablet, yeah. You know, but at home, we're very strict about how much tablet
we,
time.
What are you talking about?
Well,
I'm
you,
the one who enforces it. You're here,
evil.
Have the tablet.
No, I don't do
yes.
that. No,
yeah.
You're evil. And you're like, poor guy. He's like, look, sometimes he looks at me, he's like, Dad, no tablet today. Why? And I have to be like, well, Captain Evil over there won't let you use it, buddy. Sorry.
Pediatrician's guidelines are 1 hour a day of tech time.
Sometimes,
and we definitely,
like,
go over that.
Sometimes you're like Mrs. Freaking Read Too Much. And
Read Too Much?
Do you ever notice that, like, child psychologists...
Because you're read not at all, so that's why I seem read
child psychologist kids are usually whores.
What?
Or they're a mess. They don't know what they're talking about.
Well, then what's your excuse?
I'm not a whore. You were last night in my dream.
Oh my God, you woke up so mean to me. You were
still in bed, dude.
And you were already being mean.
I had this dream, and it was one of those dreams that was so real, right? Where I'm like, I'm living it. So a show gets canceled,
uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh man, I'm going to surprise my wife. I'm going to go home Saturday night. Normally I'd be working, but I got canceled. I'm going home. So I get home, and Garrett is there with Betty, our go-to babysitter.
Well, see, at least I didn't leave him with the tablet in your dream. It could have been worse.
Well, so then I'm like, hey, Betty, where's Renee? And she goes, oh, she's at an event. And I'm like, huh, she didn't tell me about any event. I go, but I know where that event is. And I go to the event. I walk in, and you're sitting on Brad Garrett's lap. And I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Baby, you know I'm not into tall guys.
No. But you are into rich guys. So I know you'll do anything for money.
Shut your mouth.
So, and then I'm just kind of like, what's going on? And then you make out with him. And I was so mad at you.
Like,
and
out in public? In front of, I don't even do that.
You guys
with
were
you
like,
really
you guys were
public.
Like watching a movie or something.
It was at,
like,
an event?
At an event. Like, maybe it was like a Brad Garrett premiere. Or something. And so anyway, I'm like, so I finally pull you aside. I'm like, why would you do this to our family? Why
did
you
say anything
do
to
this?
Brad?
No, why would I say that? That's it. I get, like, it cracks me up that dudes get mad at dudes for hooking up with their wife. And it's like, you shouldn't be mad at the dude's being a dude.
Oh, come on.
I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? Like,
that's
the dude's
so
being
sexist.
A dude. It's
that's
not sexist.
So sexist.
No.
Why
should I be?
It takes two people.
Yes. And she could say no.
Yes, as
it's
could
up
he.
To your wife to say no.
Sure.
Right? It's yes. not up to him. He's like, I'm trying to hook up with this girl. And if you're the one that can either say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm married.
But it's your job to say you're married too. Are we turning the dream into real life? Because I'm starting to get a little agitated.
I'm talking about, okay.
Let's be clear what we're talking about.
A wife cheats on her husband with another
dude.
In dream
land or in real life?
In real life, right? So a wife cheats on her husband with another dude. So if you cheated on me with another guy, I will not be mad at that guy.
Well, no, because I'm the one in the relationship with you,
right.
obviously. So
I'm
of
mad
course
at
you should be
you.
Mad at me. But in the same tone, if you're making it a male-female thing, if a girl came up to you and you cheated, I'm not going to say, oh, well, he's a guy. That's what guys do.
No,
heck
I'm
no.
Not
I'm going to be
that.
Pissed as hell.
You're
going to
be
you.
Mad at me.
Yeah.
But are you going to be mad at the girl?
Well, I don't care. I'm not married to her. It's not about her.
That's what
she can be whoever she wants to be.
Is that not what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
But you made it a male-female thing, not a my spouse thing.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It makes me, it's funny to me that dudes are like, I'm mad at the guy.
Gotcha.
And my wife. No, dude, you should be mad at your wife. And vice versa. You hey, ladies, if your husband cheats on you, don't be mad at the woman.
Okay, now I see why you wake up so angry after a cheating dream. Oh, my God. Because just talking about it has me all, like, on edge.
So I woke up, and then, you know, we're in the process of buying a house, and the realtor sends us, like, this agreement or whatever.
Yes.
And I'm like, hey, Renee, have you seen the agreement? And she's like, whoa.
I just opened my eyes.
What's the problem? And I'm like, well, you cheated on me last night. Like, it felt so real to me.
You need to read this agreement now.
Oh, dude, but remember when? So, I'm having a sexual dream, right? Do you remember this?
I think I know what you're going to say, and I'm a little uncomfortable.
I'm having this dream, this, like, sex dream. And then I wake up, and I'm having sex with my wife. Like, I was like, what's happening? Like, oh, my God. Like, I woke up during the sex, right?
I'm so mortified right now.
And then Renee goes, she goes,
I feel like this is a story you tell in private with friends.
She goes, oh my God, you were so passionate tonight. And I go, well, because in my dream, you were somebody else. And I just said it to be funny. I didn't mean
no,
it, but
yeah. You really meant it, you asshole.
I was like, she was like, oh my God, you were like passionately kissing me. You remember that?
Yes, I remember. Because it's the best sex we've ever had.
Ever. Really, ever. I think Vegas sex is the best sex we ever had.
Okay, change the topic.
I think Vegas sex is the best sex.
Change the topic, please. Oh, back to your crappy dream, your cheating dream.
So anyway, I woke up very upset with you. And it's funny because every freaking week I'm like, what are we going to talk about? And gosh, we have to come up with crap to talk about. Like, what are we going to talk about?
Why Brad Garrett, though? When you told me Brad Garrett, that was like really, why not Brad Pitt? Like, why are you going to be with Brad Garrett?
Well, if it was Brad Pitt, I wouldn't be mad. You know what I mean? If it's Brad Pitt, I'm like, well, you know, she's boning Brad Pitt now. I mean, hey, girl, good for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, damn. And I guess I'm not paying child support. Mm-hmm. You got Brad Pitt, right? So yeah, if it was Brad Pitt, I'd probably feel different. I'd be like, of course she cheated with, because I mean, Brad Pitt's out of your league.
But instead, it's Brad Garrett, the man we named our son after.
Yeah. Look, hey, Brad's got game. You say it like Brad doesn't have game.
No, I did not. Brad is very charming and funny.
And Brad has a beautiful wife.
Yes, he does, absolutely. I wasn't saying it like that. I was just saying, like, of all the people you could have dreamed, like we know it, Mark Wahlberg is my hall pass,
yes,
right?
And we know that Kevin Costner is mine. He is. Kevin Costner is my hero. I love all baseball movies, right? Like, he's the dude. I would love to meet. I have a lot of celebrity friends, right? You name a comedian, I know them, I've met them, I've chatted with them. Other guys in movies are my friends. Some of my friends that I started comedy with are now becoming stars. None of them make me starstruck. However, I think if I met Kevin Costner, I'd be like, and George Strait. If I could meet George Strait, that's on my bucket list to meet George Strait. Right, and sit around his campfire at his ranch with the other Mexicans that work for him. Like, George Strait for me. Because remember, you know my John Travolta story.
Oh, that's a crazy story. You got to tell that story because that's like a weird,
random and by the way, story. Like for me, I think people that were famous when I was a kid, I'm more excited to meet.
I think that's normal. I think that's everybody.
You know, celebrities that became celebrities as when I was an adult and I meet them, I'm like, right? But like I met the bad guy from Karate Kid. Zucker or... But I met him and I was like, oh my God, I just met the bad guy from Karate Kid. Like it was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so... And so anyway, I'm hungover. It's a Sunday. I used to live on Sunset and Gower,
yep,
with Brandon Rogers.
In the Batcave.
In the Batcave. You always called it the Batcave.
Because it was no windows. It was so dark and that brown carpet.
I loved it, dude.
Like a Batcave.
I loved it.
No,
and I should have stayed there forever.
So
it was rent
sad.
Control. I was paying no money. And then you came, I don't want to live in the Batcave. Let's get out of the Batcave.
You had one window that looked out on an alley. That was it.
You broke me. And then, so anyway, Sunset and Gower. And then down the street is a place called Birds. Across the street from Birds is the Scientology building.
Yeah, the big Hollywood center.
The celebrity center. So it's a Sunday morning-ish, and I'm hungover, and I'm sitting at the bar. They had this great chicken everything. That's why it was called Birds. It had chicken everything. But they had this great chicken soup that reminded me of Mom's Mexican caldo.
Uh-huh.
So I would go over there for the hangover, right? So I'm sitting there eating, and this dude next to me, older guy, he's like, well, back then, I was in my 20s, so he was probably like 30. Like, older guy, you know, older guy. He goes, hey, man, you want a shot? And I'm like, man, like, try not to drink, but if you're buying, I said, I'll do a shot with you. So he orders two shots. We have a shot. He has a shot. We start talking. We start chatting it up, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, man, I'm supposed to be at Scientology right now. My cousin wants me there, right? And he's like, you want another shot? I mean, we're like four shots in. And then all of a sudden, John Travolta comes storming in. And he
like
comes. Yeah, like he's
like
pissed.
This.
Like he's pissed. I gotta make fun of me, dude.
Cause I, what is this?
That was my act out. That was my act out.
You just wanted to show off your shoulders or what? What was that?
You noticed. You clearly noticed my cannonball.
Sorry, go.
So anyway, and it's hard to look that way because they're like, sometimes they're in my peripheral. I'm like, damn, oh, that's my shoulder.
Because your neck's too thick.
Dude. Why am I even mad in my dream when you cheat on me? I should be so relieved. In my dream, I'll be like, finally, she found another guy to torment. So Travolta comes in. Travolta comes in, and he's like, what are you doing? He's yelling at the guy next to me. You're supposed to be at church and blah, blah, blah. And are you drinking? And did you? And he starts pointing at me. He goes, did you give him drinks? I go, hey, man, I didn't give him any drinks. He goes, you know what, buddy? He tells me to my face, you're in big trouble, mister. You're in big trouble. And then he grabs the dude and leaves. And everybody around me was like, oh, crap, you know John Travolta? And I'm like, no, but he just scolded me. Apparently, I'm in big trouble. That was the same place.
Uh-oh.
Dude.
How did we just segue to this story?
I don't know. We had plans to talk about certain things.
This episode's going to be titled All the Most Embarrassing Stories.
For Renee?
Yeah.
So we had first started dating, Renee and I. You tell the story. You tell the story.
I had only been in L.A. not even a week. Not even a week. I'd only been in L.A. 3 days. And you and I walked to Birds because it's close to your apartment to meet friends for a drink.
Right.
And then you take it from there.
No, it's better because... So, we had just started dating. We go to Birds. We're all going to have drinks. And we're kind of nestled up at the bar. And as soon as Renee sits down...
I was the only girl. It was you, me,
Donnie
Jeremy. Sosa,
Jeremy,
who was super yoga, hippie, Buddha,
dippy, Austin,
peace.
Right?
Yeah.
As soon as we get to the bar, Donnie goes, I'm going to the restroom. Right?
Yeah.
And it's packed. And it was during...
Yeah, so I'm at a seat, and you guys are all standing around.
Right, so I sit Renee down, because I'm a gentleman. And then within seconds, this dude is like, hey, can I buy you a drink?
Fulan moves and puts an arm around me.
Yeah, puts an arm around her. And he's 7'2", 7'3".
He's a
big guy. So if I'm 6'2", he's got to be 7 foot. So, so he puts his arm around her, and I am of the belief that, hey, if Renee's a strong girl.
I've been living in New York for 3 years. I can handle myself.
Yeah, we're on a date. I don't need to do this macho crap where I go in and be like, hey, bro. I let her handle it, right?
Well.
So Renee says, hey, I'm kind of on a date. And he was like, oh, whatever. I don't care. You want a drink or not? And Renee's no, I'm telling you, I'm here with somebody. And he wouldn't stop. And then he puts his arm around her again. And he's like, it's all right. I'm here now and you can have a drink. And I just grab him by the wrist and I take his arm off and I go, buddy, She doesn't want to drink. I don't even go like, that's my bitch.
I think he said she said she's here with someone.
Yeah, or something, right? But I wasn't like, hey, that's my bitch. You know what I mean? I was like, hey, dude, why don't, you know, we take a break or whatever. And he was like, what's your problem, bro? I'm just trying to buy her a drink. Can I buy her a drink? And I was like, the lady doesn't want a drink. Right? So then as that's happening, he's getting aggressive. Now he's getting aggressive. His buddy comes over and his...
Tries to step in, yeah. Like, tries to step what's the in, problem?
And I go, there's no problem. So now I've kind of wedged myself between him and Renee, and then he leans over. And
this is when my shoulders just went up to my ears. He leans over. Because the minute he said it, I knew it was game
and
over.
And he goes, just so you know, little man, I'd fuck you up. And I'm like,
I was like, he doesn't know, only I can call you little man.
And I turned around and his buddy goes, what's the problem? And I look at his buddy and I go, in 3 seconds, I'm going to break his nose. By the time he says what, I break his nose. He drops to the ground. I've got him by the hair. And I look around and I'm like, who's fucking next? And I drop him one more. Game over. And Renee was like, oh my God!
No!
Oh my God! He's so macho! Like, she lost it, bro.
No,
like,
I'm thinking, I just moved to tonight. Like, did I really move to LA for this?
He's the sexiest little Mexican I've ever met in my life! Remember?
No,
and that's it. She was in love.
No, I was thinking, did I really move to LA for this?
And then you know what song started playing? I am the man who will fight for your honor.
No, it was during Hurricane Katrina, and I remember they like turned on all the lights in the bar, right? Because this mess had
But is that some John Wayne shit or
and
what?
They're like,
dude?
At a time was that some John like Wayne this. Shit?
So anyway,
we walk out, and then this whole group follows us out.
The best is Donnie comes back, and he's like, what happened? He's like, we're getting kicked out, right? So we get kicked out, and then he's got like all his LA buddies.
There's like five or six of them.
Five or six of them. They come out, and they're like, what's up, blah, blah, blah. And I turn around, and I'm like, let's go. Let's go. Y'all come over here. And then Renee's like, are you crazy? There's five of them. I'm like, no. They saw what I did to their friend. They're not coming over here.
I was like, there's five of them, and you've got Donnie Sosa and Jeremy. This is not going to work out well.
God, we should just talk about all the fights you've started.
No, we're not doing
okay,
that.
Okay, we'll skip that, because I think that later on we need to tell the story, not this episode, we'll tease it, of the greatest party I ever threw.
Oh, I thought you, okay.
Right?
Yeah. That's I think a we good should, story, too.
Because we got lots later. To talk about.
Yeah.
A lot of things happened this weekend that I wanted to talk about.
But we definitely have to go back to that story, the greatest party you ever threw.
That's a great story. Yeah. It's a great story. But I do want to talk about... you making me late to work all the time.
Okay, but this week, that was clearly a communication.
No, it wasn't.
Miscommunication. Yes, it was. It was clearly an instance of you said this, but you didn't really mean it, and I thought you said something else.
No, dude. So, Renee, you have this ability. Renee's defense mechanism is if you tell her something, then she gets louder, meaner, and aggressive.
No.
So she trains me
I get
to be afraid to say
shit. On a regular basis, you railroad me on this podcast, and I'm the one
I'm
going to
railroad
loud.
You tonight, dog.
Sometimes I just want to reach across and strangle you.
Do you not do that? Do you not have a habit of, like, so I'm afraid to, like...
I have a really bad habit of being right.
No. So... Look, I don't have a problem with you being late to something that is not my job.
Sure.
If we're late to a wedding because of your... How long does it take you to get ready?
An hour. But look...
No, it takes longer than an hour.
If I have to blow dry my hair, but because I know you are so impatient, I will wash my hair the night before and let it air dry because I have so much freaking hair.
Late.
It takes so long. No, let me finish because women will sympathize with this.
Look at her looking for a team. Like she's like, ladies, get on board. Let's tell
them. It takes a long time to blow dry. So I literally plan the day before for clean hair.
Okay, so I'm not saying that it doesn't take long. All I'm saying is that I gave you 2 hours notice.
I don't need 2 hours.
And apparently you do because we were late.
No,
you were late.
You gave me less than an hour.
No, I...
Okay, let's talk about...
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about this in particular.
Particular?
Yes, not in general.
I said, what time's the show? Okay, I would like to walk out of the door at 7 o'clock.
But
That's what I said.
We were taking a day nap.
We were taking a day nap together. And then I said, I would like to walk out of the hotel room at 7 o'clock.
Yes. And when you said that, the hour window was already ticking. And it takes me, it does.
No, it
I
wasn't.
Allow myself an hour to get ready. Yes. We woke up, as you said, I want to leave
5:40.
At 7.
It was 5:40.
When we woke up.
Okay. So 6.
And then,
so that's still an hour.
Okay. Yes. Except that my folks called and they had Garrett. Or they were going to pick up Garrett, and we realized we forgot to leave the car
right
seat.
Look how aggressive she is right now.
No, because
she won't even let me talk.
You don't give all the details.
I am giving the details.
So
okay, the car seat.
Yes, exactly. So they said, "Oh, leave the car seat at the lobby," which means you have to go down the elevator. Which right now, because of COVID, only 4 people in
could
the elevator at a time.
Could you have asked me to go get it? Could you?
Could
have
you
asked
not
me?
Have gotten your butt out of bed and gone and get it yourself?
All you had to do was ask. You took the phone call. Your parents didn't call me.
I told you what was going on. I said, oh, we forgot to leave
your parents
the car
didn't
seat.
Call me. If your parents would have said, hey, Steve, where do we leave the car seat? Then it's my department.
Okay, now
I'll
you're being
it.
Shifty.
No,
now you're finding excuses for being shifty.
Could you ask me? Could you have said, hey, I'm trying to make it by 7. Do you mind going to get
yes,
the car seat?
Yes, I could have asked you. But
instead, you
didn't.
So now you're using it like a
you
lawyer.
You didn't get out of
you're
bed.
You're using it like a lawyer. To give yourself an out and an excuse.
You didn't get out of bed.
That's why I like fighting on the podcast. Because you're calmer. And you're not as mean. And you're not as aggressive. Guys,
Because I'm trying to make my point very
go ahead,
clearly.
Go
I
ahead.
Want everyone to know I'm right.
You're not right.
So I go and get the car seat out of your truck. Your truck. It was in your truck. I go and get the car seat. Bring it back up to the lobby. Drop it off.
The truck that you wrecked.
Yes, the truck that I wrecked. Dropped it off. And then came back up to shower and
how long does that
ready.
Take? How long does that
you
take?
You told me. No, listen.
15 minutes? 10 at the most, max?
10, 15 minutes, yes.
How does it take 15 minutes?
When I need an hour to get ready, that 15
10.
Minutes is
it was
critical.
10. It takes 10 minutes to get in an elevator, go down, switch the car seats, and come back. It doesn't take 15.
Okay, so even then, it took 10 minutes. But when you've only allotted yourself an hour to get ready, 10 minutes is 10%. That's a significant portion, sir.
Oh, my God. So anyway...
So then you say...
Well, go ahead.
Do you know what you said?
What did I say?
You said, I'd like to walk out the door at 7. Can you? Are you going to be ready? And I said, I think I can make that happen. And you said, if not,
okay,
you can
but
just
no,
take
no.
your own car because we both
no,
had
but I said that
there.
Before the car seat. I told you at 5:45, 5:40, I said, hey, I would like to walk out of here at 7.
Uh-huh.
That's what I said.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter.
And then when you said I could take my own car.
My thing is, had you told me, hey, looks like I'm not going to make the 7 o'clock deadline, you should say, if you want to go on your own, I'm sorry, I'm not going to make it.
You told me I could go on my own. You said I could take my own car.
So now it's 7 o'clock, and I'm not going to get dressed because I'm trying to stay calm, and I'm trying not to get in trouble because that's how you do business. You do business in a way that if you screw up and then I tell you screwed up, then I'm in trouble. How does that make any sense?
It's female logic. Perfect sense.
So then I go, it's 7 o'clock, honey. I go, are you going to make it? She's like, oh, I'm not even close. I'm like, oh, my God,
dude.
Because
I was going to take my own car. You said I could take my own car if I wasn't ready.
So now it's 7 o'clock and she's like, oh, she's still in a towel. She's still wearing the towel. And I'm like... Hey, how about a little heads up that I'm not going to make it? Because it's my job and I get anxiety. So then
I thought you were going to leave. I thought it was 7. I thought you were going to go and leave. You were still laying in bed. So I was like, oh, he's chilling. He's taking his time.
So this is how our cycle of fights works. She does something. I call her out for doing something. Then she gets really pissed because how dare I call her out for making a mistake. So then she gets really pissed. And then she yells and screams at me. And then I yell and scream back. And then she yells and screams back. And she's like, F you. And I'm like, F you. And I'm like, I have to give examples. I'm like, look, I've asked you several times. Have I not asked you before to, at least for work, that I
listen, like, there was a very simple solution that day, that show. You told me I could
say
drive
I'm
myself.
Sorry.
We had 2 cars. You could have taken your truck to the show,
been
on time,
how about
no
you
problem.
Go, hey,
I could have followed right
I'm
behind
I'm not
going to
make it at 7.
Later,
I'm
no
not going to make
deal.
It at 7, and I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry. But if you don't mind, go ahead and take... It's like the ceiling fan.
Uh-oh.
It's like the ceiling
fan. No, see, don't open up another fight. Don't do that.
It's all about, no, but it's all about.
Don't do that.
It's all about approach. So we go and buy a ceiling fan, which, by the way, I think we probably already talked about it. She buys a ceiling fan. We put it up. And the only difference between that ceiling fan and the ceiling fan she wanted
was the one you put up
was
ugly.
Was a little silver thing around the light. Right? And me and Timmy, right, my road manager, we put it up together. And it's not easy and it's not hard, but we put it up. She walks in there and she's like, oh, no, you got to change it out. Go get the other one. I don't like it.
I sent you a picture of the fan.
And my thing is,
I sent you a picture of the exact fan.
And then my thing is, how about, oh, my God, guys. I'm sorry that you're going to have to do this again. I really don't like that fan. And baby, if you could, for me, please put the other fan. I'm happier.
We don't speak to each other that way, though.
I'm happier.
Okay. Understood.
It's like the joke I'm trying to write right now about, like, how does it feel to be able to make decisions and not ask anybody? Like, it must feel great. Like, she must feel so great to be like, I just made that decision, and there's no consequences.
Oh, you do too. You make decisions all the time.
Did you not, like, literally, her sister...
Just when it comes to stuff that's, like, a matter of taste, we should leave to me. That's all.
Oh, that's where we're at. That's where we've gotten, dude, where I'm like, look, I'm going to give you a budget for the new house to decorate it. Do whatever you want.
I feel like most
Which I think is crummy. I think it's crummy that I'm going to live there too. I work for this money too, and I don't get any say?
No one's saying you don't get a
say. Dude, I told her no pink years ago. I go, I don't mind you doing your thing, but I don't want pink. And then all of a sudden, what color are our sheets?
White and
pink.
Blush.
And pink. Because she does what she wants.
That's the only pink in our entire home is sheets. You sound like such a big baby right
I'm a grown-ass man sleeping in pink sheets. I don't like...
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
I'll buy pink curtains instead. No, I don't buy pink curtains.
But like... So your sister gets picked. By the way, so it made me think about it because...
Hey,
it is...
I'm sorry there was a miscommunication... And that you were late for work.
Are you saying sorry
yes.
on the podcast? Dude, this podcast is going to change our lives. That made me feel so good. Thank you, Renee.
And the next day I made up for it. I was early 10 minutes. I was ready 10 minutes early.
Thank you.
And today for the podcast, was I not ready 10 minutes early? You were the one who had to walk back in the house?
What? I don't even know. Like, the whole
the
dynamic of our relationship. It's now broken. Now I can't bitch. You just did it because you... Oh, dude, she likes to win. So we put out a clip about the fishing. About the fishing clip. How you said...
About how I said fishing is basically doing nothing.
And all these people disagreed with her. And she was like, oh my God, this does not feel
like,
good.
Now I know what it feels like to be you. Because people always think I'm right and you're wrong.
She was like, I don't like this feeling. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Well, welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. So anyway, my Rebecca, her little sister I love so much. And she just had a birthday. So happy
yes,
birthday, Rebecca.
Happy birthday, Becca.
And you put up on your Facebook that beautiful picture of you and her. A lot of people don't know that you were on Say Yes to the Dress.
Yeah, Becca got picked to be on an episode of Say Yes to the Dress. They did, I think it's called like... What's the episode called? Brides Across America or something.
I just found it funny that she literally was like, hey, I just bought me and my mom plane tickets to New York. I'm like, how does it feel to just make decisions?
My sister is going to be on an episode to say yes to the
I'm
dress.
Not mad
of course
at it.
We're going to go to New York
I'm
City.
I'm just saying. So then, so you go to New York. I was thinking the other day too, because literally you guys probably have the most screen time. Wouldn't you say?
Rebecca got a lot of screen time. Yeah, yeah.
Rebecca and you and your mom were on screen a lot. And I realized that I always say that you are extra. You are a pain in the ass. You are a Captain Evil.
You say it like you want sympathy. Everybody knows
And there's
this.
50 other brides
oh,
on this
that
show.
That are extra too?
That
oh
are
God,
extra.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you
yeah.
guys are more extra.
Oh.
That's what's amazing.
We're the most prominent extra.
Like yeah, they get the most screen time because they're the most extra out of the extra bitches. So how extra of a wife?
Think about that.
But I wanted to talk to you about the experience.
It was neat and it was weird and bizarre. I mean, there are, can you imagine 20, I think they split them up into like two groups. So 25 women dress shopping at once. Oh, look.
Come here, buddy.
That's so amazing.
What's up? We are almost done filming. Are you okay? Yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Where were we?
About you.
Oh, so think about it. You've got 25 women shopping for a wedding dress at the same time, right?
50. In this,
well, they split them up into two groups.
Oh.
Because there's no way you would have 50 brides in there at once, but dresses are just like flying off the racks, and they've got like five different camera crews because they're trying to capture all these
different
women.
As much as they can.
Yeah, these different groups. And they want to like keep interviewing Becca and my mom and I and the consultant that's working with Becca, I think his name was Shane. He's like, hey, we don't got time for this. These dresses are disappearing. So Becca's like in a panic thinking like there's not going to be anything left.
And she can't be happy with the $7,000 dress she's already wearing, right? Because she's extra.
Anyway, so it's a crazy, bizarre experience. But the shop, Kleinfeld's, is this beautiful shop. And all the consultants are amazing and gorgeous.
But I feel like, you know, for your mom is such a workaholic and such a,
oh,
you know,
it was so fun, right, to be able to go back to New York with my mom. Because when I lived there from the time I was like 17 to I graduated when I was 19.
19 or 20.
Yeah. So to be able to do New York with my mom as an adult
on a show,
was amazing.
Right, on a show. And then Sean is wearing, so my sister-in-law married Sean Ayano, and he became an officer in the Navy. So he was wearing,
well, they got picked to represent the state of Hawaii. There's like
even
a prize to represent
Texas,
every state. Right. They were in Hawaii. He's stationed in Hawaii. So they got picked to represent Hawaii.
And you guys were walking around Central Park. Or, I'm sorry,
the wedding was in Central Park.
Right, but you know where they took those fabulous pictures, because the
guy
was
Times
like...
Times Square.
Times Square.
Yeah.
So Rebecca and Sean are walking around. Sean's, 6 foot?
This was the day after the wedding, that evening.
Sean's 6'2", Rebecca's 5'8",
They're
skinny.
They're both tall, yeah.
Right? And all of a sudden, this camera guy, right? Tell us, so you were there.
Well, because there's camera guys that hang out in Times Square just to capture like these amazing Times Square moments. They have these, you know, really cool Instagram accounts. And there's that iconic picture of the
one
soldier,
in San Diego.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Times Square. So he saw Becca and Sean, and he was like, you guys got to let me take pictures. This is so cool. So she ended up with these amazing photos of her in her wedding dress that she wore on the show and him in his dress whites in the middle of Times Square. And Mom and I just happened to be coming out of, we were meeting there because we had gone to see a Broadway show. And we were like, come meet us in Times Square. So we all got to take pictures there too. It was really
cool.
Neat.
I think that photograph might have been one of the ones that he took.
Yes, the photo,
right?
I posted was that she ended up with these amazing wedding photos.
Which, by the way, so my wife is definitely spoiled.
For sure.
And if my wife is spoiled and she's a 10, Rebecca is a 12. Her little sister's a 12, and I found it so funny that Rebecca's like, yeah, I don't even want a wedding. Like, I just, something simple, I'm fine with it. She had three. She had three weddings. She had the wedding on
a
Say
Hawaiian
Yes to
wedding,
the Dress.
Just the two of them.
She had a Hawaiian wedding, just the two of them. Uh-huh. And then she had the Say Yes to the Dress.
Yes.
And then we had a full-on
Texas wedding.
And from I just, you know, something simple. Just something simple. They're extra. They are extra. But you loved it, right?
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was great.
So we got to find out what the name of the episode is so that people...
I think it's Say Yes to the Dress America.
I think so.
Because they chose it was 52. It was actually 52
brides.
Well,
it ended up part of my joke because, you know, I tell the story about...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It being the worst vacation of my life.
It's like a big part of the act now, yeah.
And you being in New York City and I am literally in the attic. And when I tell you that I was sweating so much... That I was, it looked like I had jumped into a swimming pool. That's how wet my shirt and shorts were. And I'm sitting there, because I'm in the attic putting insulation it's in the summertime. So it's 300 degrees up there. And I'm sitting there, and when I tell you I'm drenched in sweat, I'm drenched in sweat. I can't cool off even though I'm in the AC. This one calls, oh my God, I'm in Central Park right now in a sundress. And it could not be any hotter. And I'm like, did you just say that to me?
How there was no shade. They had a standing
no
up
shame.
In Central Park for this
There's no
ceremony,
shame. I'm working my no ass
shade.
Off to better our life with our rental property. And
meanwhile, you've got Garrett in bed with the tablet. Here, kid, take the
he
tablet.
He got sick that week.
Oh yeah. So you finish telling your story, and then we'll get into that.
Well, you always get mad because anytime I'm alone with Garrett, my parents will come help, and you're always like, "Do it alone. Do it alone. You can't do it alone." I'm like, yeah, I can, but my parents want to come and help. What's the problem?
No, there's no problem with that.
Because when Renee's gone,
actually now
when Renee's gone, my parents can actually come over.
After this experience, I would prefer that they come over so that Garrett is healthy when I come back home.
He was fine.
No,
that was when we ended up in Tampa.
Yeah,
and I ended up with 104 fever.
Steven's up in the emergency room. I've got a kid with a swollen foot fungus, like covered in bumps. I was like, I'm never going away again. Like, clearly, I cannot leave. My family falls apart.
Teach you a lesson. Teach you a lesson. Don't leave your family. Don't be gallivanting across New York City.
God forbid a woman get away for 3 days.
But it was a good experience, and I'm glad you did it. And I just love when people are like, did I just see Captain Evil? In a commercial, did I just see Captain Evil on Say Yes to the Dress? Like, it was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome.
It was neat.
And then the last thing that we wanted to talk about is, you know, we're really listening to the comments. We try very, very hard to read all your comments, believe me. And, you know, one of the comments was that they really like kind of the inside baseball. They like the behind the scenes of the stand-up of you know, us talking about what happens behind the comedy scene.
Right. And,
you know, since I've gotten to where I've gotten, I feel this need to reach back and help.
Well, you as a human, who you are, regardless of your career or what you do, you love to mentor.
Well,
and you love to help and give advice.
I had a very rough mentor experience early on in my career. And because of that, and I realized the other day that because of that, I have never trusted comedians again. I've never gotten close to another comedian again. You know, it was such a bad experience for me that I completely separated myself, and I completely did not ask anybody for help anymore. Because I was like, look, I got screwed over.
The situation really jaded you.
It jaded me really bad, so.
That was a bad situation.
Horrible situation that has affected my career, and because of that, I have not only protected myself from falling for that again, because I truly fell for something, right? So in return, I like to give back.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, it has backfired on me early on in my career.
I was going to say, I think there's some people who don't want your advice.
I think a lot of people don't want my advice, you know, and I think that...
But I think it's hard to... I think when it comes to stand-up comedy, there is a certain amount of ego a person has to have to get on that stage and be successful. Like, it's part of the job description.
Right.
And so if you are a person who does have a significant amount of ego, taking advice or feedback is sometimes hard to hear.
No, absolutely. And it's hard for me to hear in the beginning. And I have learned to trust the people around me. I've learned to take notes and you know, me and my partner in this podcast, Rick, we talk about it all the time. Hey, dude, I trust you in your lane to help me, and vice versa. And I've learned over the years to be able to take criticism, to be able to trust the people that I'm working with and their expertise, you know. And it's frustrating because, you know, when I find somebody with talent, they're usually really young, and they're not ready for the, you know, advice or the, you know.
Well, but I also think you have to remember, just like we're talking about how it takes a certain amount of ego to go up there on stage and do that, I think when you're young and you're starting out, that ego is so fragile. And so when someone does throw something at you, it can totally throw you off.
Sure. And I have a habit of being very forward and being very blunt. And
you don't sugarcoat things.
I don't sugarcoat things.
Say it how it is.
I say it how it is. I make it very simple. And I tell comics that tour with me, look, dude, if you're touring with me, I already like you. So let's skip the, hey, you did good. And let's just get straight to
Well, then why can't I just skip the, hey, baby, you did good with the ugly fan. Now can we switch it out to the pretty one? How come that same methodology
You see how nice you said that? You see how nice you said that? Hey, baby. No, no. When you walked in, you're like, out now. Peasants, switch it. Like, that was the attitude you had, and all I'm saying is...
All I'm saying is, why do I have to sugarcoat it? You don't sugarcoat it.
Because I sugarcoat for you. I'm talking about comics.
Okay, I totally diverted. Yes. I'm sorry.
Because you're trying to win. You're still trying to win.
No, I am.
You're still trying to win. So, you know, I try to find these young, talented guys, and I try to help them the best I can. Is it always the best? Is the way that I help the best? Maybe not, but I'm doing the best I can with 1,000% good intentions.
Yeah.
You know, but what I'm finding is the lack of sacrifice, the lack of commitment.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize what I have been through.
I told you that the other day.
To get to this.
That I think people, because you make it look so easy on stage, I think sometimes people think that everything is that easy and they don't realize all the behind the scenes work and sacrifice that happens.
All the free shows I did, all the driving I did, all the sleeping in my car, sharing hotel rooms, hustling, promoting my own shows and sometimes losing money and figuring things out and never saying no and never not answering my phone. You'll never catch me not answering my phone.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
I'm going to answer my phone because I always tell people all the time, like, I can't tell you how many opportunities that I have gotten because I answered the phone. You know, where they go, hey, Steve, we needed a replacement comedian for this back in my early in my career. Are you available this week? And I'd be like, yes, sir, I'm available this week. And they're like, they're like, great, because we just called three other people. They didn't answer their phone.
So many times, gigs that saved us when we were like, how are we going to pay this bill was because something happened, someone canceled, and you got the call.
And I'm on it, right? Yeah. And I'm going to answer my phone, and there is no, how much are you going to pay me? How am I going to get there? It was like, I'm on my way, dude.
People knew they could call you, and you were going to do it.
They knew
they were going to get a yes.
Right, and all the free shows I did and all the opportunities that I would take advantage of, you know, and it was frustrating. Then I'm debating whether how to handle it because there's this really young, talented musician that I think I can help. My management team is in the music business. This kid is super talented, good-looking kid, and I have a meeting with him at my show on Thursday. His parents come and everybody comes, and I explain to him, hey, man, I want to help you. And we were doing a music/comedy show all weekend in a venue that books music.
Yeah, that's typically not a comedy venue.
Specifically the music that this kid sings. So I tell the kid that day, I'm like, hey, you want to go on stage? So he does. And then I tell him afterwards, I go, look, I'm going to be here all weekend. What do you got going on? And he's like, well, I don't have any gigs. I said, well, you should come back and hang out and you should come back and get on stage. I can get you on stage every single night, which, by the way,
exposure to a completely different audience.
And all sold out.
Yeah.
I mean, my shows are completely sold out. And then I get a text message from him, and he's like, yeah, man, we have company over tonight, so I'm not going to make it. And I'm like, there is no company, dude. There is no day offs. There is no, especially on the weekends. There is no weekends for you. That is when you are working. And when you're not working, you should be hanging out at Randy Rogers' show. At Roger Craiger's show, you should be showing your face. You know, you remember in L.A.? I was not working on the road, I was at the Comedy Store.
Yeah. That was just as much work to you as your road gig.
I had to be there. I had to be getting better as a stand-up. I had to be in the community. I had to find a way to continue to push my career forward. And in the beginning, you had a hard time with that.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
In the beginning, she would be like, why can't we have a weekend? You're not working this weekend. Why do you have to go to the Comedy Store? And I'm like, because I don't have a career. And because I have to get better. And because I have to sacrifice. Because I have to make sure You know, and then some of the gigs, you know, people are like, my goal back then was, I got to make $1,000 a week. And I don't care how I do it, I'm going to do it. So there was these gigs all over LA that were like $50 gigs, $75 gigs, right? And then there was a Wednesday gig in San Miguel, California, which was 4 hours away. So I would literally, that was for $400.
Yeah.
I would drive to San Miguel. And that's another thing. While I was there, making sure to shake every hand, thank everybody for coming out, because I knew that all I need to do is earn one fan a show. And if I can earn one fan a show and I'm doing 10 shows a week, I've got 10 new fans. And those 10 new fans are going to tell two other people. Now I've got 20 fans. And that was the attitude that I took towards my career. And I don't think people realize that at the end of the day, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people who want to be a comedian. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of people who want to be a musician.
Yeah.
So how are you going to separate yourself from them? They have talent. You have talent. You have to outwork them. You got to show up and get better at your craft and earn a fan. I mean, he could have probably earned, by the way, and like, you know how I think, he should have been like, hey, man, can I sell merch? I'm not getting paid, but do you care if I sell merch at your show? I bet yeah. He could have made $50 a night, $50 a show, because I'm happy to go on stage and go, hey, man, you know, he came out here to perform for you guys. He's not getting paid. He's selling merch, man. Buy a hat. Buy a shirt.
Yeah.
And he probably would have made some
money. Buy his music.
Chingo Bling's like that.
Yeah.
You know, Chingo Bling would take every opportunity he could to get in front of the public. So it was very frustrating to me, and I don't know how to
I just think because you are such a hard worker, you have such high expectations. You set the bar so high. And not that you shouldn't. I'm just saying not everyone thinks like you.
But we're hard workers. We you know, for us, you know, and other people that we work with, it's 7 days a week. There is no days off.
Yeah.
Right? The phone, I don't turn my phone off.
We're sending emails.
Saturday,
whenever.
Sunday, yeah. Friday. I mean, every day it just keeps rolling. And you know, we deal with people sometimes where we'll call them and they're like, yeah, you know, I'm at the pool right now. So can, and I'm like,
I'm out of the office.
Yeah, I'm out of the office. And I'm like, for us, there is no out of the office.
Yeah.
You know, and I get so frustrated. There's an intern here right now named Brooklyn, right? Brooklyn. You know, Brooklyn, if you work harder than everybody else, you will be more successful. And you have to sacrifice and you have to put in the time and you have to make yourself work harder than everybody else. Because everybody else wants the same thing you want. You know, and, you know, I have made my own path. I've heard a million no's. I still, to this day, we have now a successful podcast. I have almost a million fans on Facebook. I have 3 specials in the can, filmed, Showtime, Netflix, Amazon Prime, and I'm still not getting, Hollywood's still not giving me another special.
There's still no, you still hear no's.
I'm still hearing no.
Get used to the no's.
Mark Wahlberg said it took him 10 years
to get the fighter made,
to make
right?
The fighter. Mark Wahlberg is getting no's.
Yeah.
So if you're just starting out, you better take every crumb that comes your way because those crumbs become the whole cake.
Yeah.
And you got to work hard. So I don't know how to handle it. I don't know. I love the kid. I think he's very humble. He's very sweet. But I also think, and me and you...
You said you give him another chance. You explain, and either he gets it or he doesn't.
I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call him and say, look, dude, you missed an opportunity, and you have to make a decision on how hard you want to work. Because yeah. I don't want to work this hard to help you.
For a hobby.
You got to make this your life.
Yeah.
And if it is your life, that means that you have no life. Because me and you...
But we have a life.
But we built it. And we work hard to have that life.
I think we're very fortunate that we get to work together.
We are very... Well, but we created that. And we did that. And we work hard towards that. So we went way longer, as always.
Garrett got more than an hour of tablet time.
But the podcast has been very successful, so thank you so much, and we appreciate the comments and
everyone sharing it.
That's what we need more than anything. We need you guys to share it. We need you guys to tell people about it. Tag your friends. And please continue to support. We love you guys so much.
Someone said they want your mom and they want Miss Dora on an episode. Oh, we didn't even get to talk about
Miss Dora at the show every night till 2 a.m.
She was loving
taking
it.
Taking shots. My mom's taking shots.
She wouldn't come backstage because she was getting way more attention out front.
She was out front hanging out with the owner of the club and, I mean, just everybody. So, yeah, we do have to get Miss Dora on the show. Follow her, please, at Dora Peña on Facebook. She loves it. She sells eyelashes. Buy her eyelashes. That's our sponsor. Our sponsor today is Dora Peña on Facebook. My mother, she sells eyelashes, ladies. So they're the magnetic ones. So get some of those. This has been a great episode. I love you. I appreciate thee. I'm sorry. I'm gonna be high for the rest of the week.
Hopefully it'll last a little longer than that.
Well, I'll probably have a
dream. No, I was going to say, hopefully a bad dream doesn't ruin it, a cheating dream.
So, we love you guys. Thank you so much. We are out.
Thank you.